Imagine a world where businesses don't have to choose between profits and social good, where creating value for employees, customers, communities, and the environment actually leads to superior returns for investors. This isn't just wishful thinking. It's the evidence-based reality that finance professor Alex Edmonds reveals in Grow the Pie. The fundamental problem with how we view business today stems from a pie-splitting mentality, the assumption that the economic pie is fixed, so any gain for stakeholders must come at shareholders' expense. But what if the pie isn't fixed? What if companies could grow the total value created, allowing both shareholders and stakeholders to benefit? Consider Merck's development of Mectizan, a drug that cures river blindness. When CEO Roy Vagelos discovered it could help millions but wouldn't be profitable, he distributed it for free. Traditional thinking would consider this a shareholder loss. Yet by 2019, Merck's stock had outperformed peers by 54%, partly because this decision attracted talented scientists passionate about solving important problems, enhanced the company's reputation with regulators, and built trust with communities. This isn't charity. It's excellence in action. Does creating social value improve financial performance? Edmonds' landmark research on the 100 best companies to work for provides compelling evidence. Over 28 years studying 1,682 firm years, these companies beat their peers by 2.3 to 3.8% annually, an 89 to 184% cumulative outperformance. Consider Costco, which pays nearly double the retail average and provides health care to 90% of employees. With turnover at just 17% versus Walmart's 44% and high replacement costs, Costco's approach saves money. As CEO Jim Sinegal stated, "That's not altruism, that's good business." This pattern extends to other stakeholders. Companies in the top 20% of customer satisfaction earned nearly double the returns of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Firms with high eco-efficiency outperformed lower-ranked peers by 5%. Notably, these benefits emerge over time. The market takes over 4 years to fully value stakeholder investments, creating opportunities for patient investors. Executive compensation remains controversial. S&P 500 CEOs earn on average $14.8 million, 264 times the average employee, up from 42 times in 1980. But focusing solely on pay levels reflects pie-splitting thinking. Even if CEOs worked for free, reallocating their pay would release at most 0.06% of company value. What matters more is pay structure, how compensation aligns leadership with long-term value creation. The solution involves three dimensions: sensitivity, simplicity, and horizon. Sensitivity means accountability through significant shareholdings. Fortune 500 CEOs average $67 million in equity, so a 10% stock drop costs them $6.7 million, creating powerful incentives to protect value. Simplicity means replacing complex bonus formulas with restricted shares that can't be sold for years. Horizon refers to the equity lockup period, ideally extending beyond the CEO's tenure to align with stakeholder value. Contrary to portraying activist investors as corporate raiders, evidence shows they enhance long-term performance. A study of 2,000 activist interventions found significant increases in operating performance and innovation, with targeted firms seeing 31% more patent citations in the 5 years following intervention. The distinction between holding period and orientation is crucial. A responsible investor isn't simply one who holds shares long-term. Patience without monitoring is irresponsibility. The ideal investor is long-term oriented rather than merely holding long-term. Share buybacks face criticism for supposedly diverting resources from workers, research, and long-term investment. However, research shows buybacks typically occur when investment opportunities are low and surplus cash is available. Companies make investment decisions before considering repurchases. When firms return cash through buybacks, that money gets efficiently reinvested elsewhere, with shareholders, not CEOs, deciding where capital flows. For example, when Apple conducts buybacks, investors might redirect those funds to technology startups or renewable energy. This creates a virtuous circle. Mature firms generate profits, invest in viable projects, then return excess cash that finances tomorrow's innovative enterprises. Market data confirms this pattern. While S&P 500 firms buy back more stock than they issue, smaller non-S&P 500 companies, typically with better growth opportunities, do the opposite. From 2010 to 2019, non-S&P 500 companies issued approximately $300 billion more in equity than they repurchased, demonstrating the stock market's role in efficiently allocating funds to companies that need them most. Purpose defines why a company exists, who it serves, and its role in the world. While profit isn't the purpose itself, purpose should drive success, as shown by Unilever's sustainable living brands growing 69% faster than their other products. Purpose unites stakeholders more effectively than contracts, which only enforce compliance rather than commitment. This matters especially for millennials. Only 27% plan to stay with employers for 5 years, but 88% would stay if satisfied with the company's purpose, with millennial turnover costing the U.S. economy over $30 billion annually. To make purpose more than just a slogan, companies must embed it through strategy, operating models, reporting, culture, and board ownership. Patagonia demonstrated this commitment by placing a "Don't buy this jacket" ad on Black Friday, despite potential sales reduction. When Tesco defined its purpose as creating value for customers to earn their lifetime loyalty, it redesigned processes to ensure product availability and freed managers from unnecessary reporting to focus on customer service. Despite the apparent power of global corporations, we all wield significant influence through three key roles: as members, investors, colleagues, customers; as policymakers, voters and participants in public discourse; and as influencers, media, think tanks, experts. Even small shareholders can create change, as when Abdul Durant, an HSBC cleaner struggling to support his family, attended the bank's AGM and addressed the chairman directly about low wages, resulting in a 28% pay increase for cleaners. Customers provide feedback that can determine a business's success and support innovation through co-creation, as when Lego's ambassador program helped turn around the company by engaging avid customers for product ideas. As citizens, we can support regulation that grows the pie rather than just redistributes it. We can highlight positive examples, encouraging others to support purposeful companies while providing aspirational models for other firms. Today's business leaders wield unprecedented influence through technological capabilities and global reach. We now have compelling evidence, inspiring examples, and practical tools to create a form of capitalism that works for all of society rather than just a select few. By embracing the pie-growing mentality across business operations, public policy, and individual decision-making, we can build an economic system that genuinely serves humanity's needs while preserving the innovation and dynamism that drives progress. The transformation to purpose-driven capitalism won't happen overnight, but the momentum is building as more organizations recognize that doing good and doing well are fundamentally aligned. In a world facing mounting inequality and environmental crises, we don't need to choose between purpose and profit. The evidence shows that when done right, they're two sides of the same coin. The question isn't whether business can afford to serve society, but whether it can afford not to.